Had to add that Cam Scadabo touchdown run. That was a thing of beauty against the vaunted Utah defense. Nick Borgia got that slow-mo clip there from the sideline, so shout out to Nick. I DM'd him, but I don't know if we have permission to use that. Hopefully so. But for Nick and Toddy and myself, Q is obviously out. We benched him today, despite him doing well in the contest this weekend. We'll get into that in a little bit. But, fellas, week 7 in the books, what was your biggest takeaway from the weekend?
I mean, it's an easy one for me. Like, how many times do we have these giant weekends that don't always live up to the hype? Like, you talk about those three games, they're all on at the same time between 7 and 7:30. Whether you were staring at Ohio State, Oregon, Ole Miss, LSU, or Florida, Tennessee, they all lived up to the hype. They all came down to the very end of the game. So, just awesome weekend of football around. But, yeah, that 7 o'clock window was crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. It was tough to go back. You know, I was going back to LSU's game, the Oregon game, Tennessee. And yeah, it was great. And I mean, I really enjoyed the Penn State game, USC, at the 3:30 slate. That was a really good, entertaining game too. So I tried to stay up for the Colorado game. I made it a little bit, but did not stay up the whole game for that. So I saw the highlights the next yesterday morning. So no, great weekend of football.
Got to be built different. That's what I kept telling my 12-year-old. So we were in Dallas for the Dallas Cowboys getting their butts whooped by Detroit. That was just a really bad game. But Saturday we hung out there at Texas Live and watched college football all day long. And about 4 hours into it, he was ready to go. And I was like, man, you gotta be built different, man. You're watching great football. He was like, well, this Texas blowout. Of course, Texas OU was front and center on all the TVs. So, Ken, thanks for joining us. Good job. And Sean, surprise, surprise, Sean Alvarez is in the chat.
Sean's always here. Love it.
Watch sports on the East Coast. Hey, we weren't even on the East Coast. We were in the same time zone. But Texas OU was kind of a snooze fest. It was nothing but a Red River shootout. Utah, Arizona State, Friday night. Again, the clip, if you missed the intro, go back and watch that. Cam Scadabo had a beautiful run for a touchdown that we've now incorporated into the intro. Arizona State gets a big win as a plus money dog. We did have a Cam Rising sighting for a little bit, and then he ultimately went out with another injury. Shocker. Nick, do you have anything to add about Cam Rising?
Nothing I haven't said for the last 4 weeks. I've been very adamant about where I'm at on this Utah team, and I just can't trust them. The whole thing with like injury reports and everything, and I'll bring this up, so this actually became even wider this year, or at least in the past couple of weeks, and I don't know if it's because we're in conference play where coaches are getting more kind of quiet about things. Like, there are, well, I think the Big Ten, if I'm correct, maybe you guys know better, but I think the Big Ten and SEC right now are the only two conferences that are actually requiring legit scouting report or like injury reports. Is that right? As far as you guys know,
who'd you say?
Big Ten and SEC, right? Are the only two that I know actually require. Because one of my bets, I wanted to hit Memphis versus USF, but a lot of it was based on, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting that USF quarterback's name, but he basically carries their team. Dual threat guy, could probably play in the Power Four conference as a quarterback. He was questionable, and they were calling him day-to-day during practice and said he was went through the whole week of practice and everything, game-time decision. Literally was on crutches and in a boot during the game. It's like, that could not have been more of a lie from the head coach. Now they're saying he literally broke his leg. So the fact that, like, these coaches can just flat-out lie kind of sucks for at least our industry. I get why coaches do it. I mean, we're very close with the college baseball industry, and that happens – probably even more in college baseball when it comes to pitchers and things like that than college football. But yeah, that part's ridiculous. Makes it tough for us. But yeah, Cam Rising, just one I've laid off of. And yeah, if his career is over, at least that would make it easier on me in handicapping and knowing that he's officially out.
Todd?
sorry for that rant.
No, I
love it. It's a problem.
It's been very entertaining between us and try to say it on the show, but each week, is he going to go and all that? And I heard the same thing. I think it was on VSiN this week about the South Florida game. A lot of people liked that game, and that was the big thing, was the hurricane. Were they going to play because of the hurricane? And I heard the same thing Nick just said there, questionable. And then, yeah, then you hear that. So that it's very tough. I know if you play fantasy, it's like that too. I had the wide receiver from Ole Miss. Sounded like he was going to play, and I still sat him out, and I think he actually played and everything. So it's tough when you come to that. And the one thing I do want to say about the Friday night madness continues. We said it on the show Friday. Keep an eye on the dogs. And all three dogs covered the ATS, and two of them won outright.
Yeah, we've had really good Friday night games, and we've got a couple more this weekend too. Ole Miss, LSU, and then Kansas State, Colorado. Smitty, I know you said you didn't make it all the way through Colorado, Kansas State. That was a great game. Colorado, just their defense continues to be a problem, and Kansas State took full advantage of it. Scored so fast there at the end, right when Colorado had gone up. You make anything of that or the miraculous LSU comeback? I saw that Parker put out his, did we really get beat that bad? And turns out Ole Miss did not. They should have won that game based on their EPA and all the averages. But pretty intense games. You got to see Lincoln Riley blow a game. James Franklin gets after his players for planting the flag at midfield, which was good. Classy move. A move by Franklin. And then Tennessee gets taken to the wire again. Nick, is Tennessee's offense broken? What's the deal?
I think their offensive line injuries are coming back to kind of get them. And that's kind of a small part of it. I get, like, when Dylan Sampson is flat out their best player on the team, and he's at running back, but he can only do so much if he's getting a yard or two with before contact. That makes it tough. And I will say, Florida, we talked about it before the game. Florida's defensive line, you can say whatever you want about Florida this year, their defensive line still has a lot of talent on it, kind of like Arkansas's did the week before. So, I don't know. It's very weird to see, like, this hypo offense not be explosive. We were talking in our chat, like, Nico, there's a few shots in the second half that he has to hit. Like, he had a couple guys behind the defense, 5 yards of separation, and just overthrew them. Like, your receivers are talented enough that he has, at least give him a shot. Like, don't overthrow him. Underthrow him, if anything, we've seen in college football this year. They're calling more of those pass interference calls when guys are having to come back to the ball and defensive backs just can't make that adjustment. So at least if you don't complete the pass, you might get a pass interference, but he's overthrowing it. So I don't know. It's very weird. Luckily, their defense, I still trust 1,000%. The Tennessee defense doesn't have any problems. The secondary is still, I guess, a bit questionable, but, I mean, it didn't hurt against Florida. It won't really kill them against Bama. I mean, Bama's still going to want to run the ball 40 or 50 times against them next week. So, I don't know what to think. It's weird. Like, I don't know what to say. I do trust Heupel to make adjustments eventually, but, yeah, it's the last couple of weeks have been very disappointing.
How big of a loss was that for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss? I mean, their playoff odds have got to be done, considering I thought this team could go 10-2. Looking at their schedule, you could give them a loss for Georgia, loss against Oregon, Texas. And here they are, two losses already, and still those teams to play out.
Yeah, just real quick, I'll say something about that. We talked about the biggest handicap on this LSU game was that home field advantage at night. And it honestly could have been what caused – there was – what Ole Miss was 12 penalties for 110 yards. Yeah. And then their two turnovers. Like, that could be that 3 or 4 points you're talking about when you give that home field advantage. And that was probably the difference in this game, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you typically add 2 to 3 points for home field advantage. I think LSU at night, you may have to adjust it even more than that.
Yeah, 4 or 5 maybe.
Yeah. Smitty?
Yeah, I just want to go back to that Penn State game. You know, that was one USC, you know, we always kind of joke about James Franklin not winning the big game. And again, you know, Riley, again, if you look at his numbers, just not doing a lot there at USC over the years. And I will say something, I really, you know, Penn State was in trouble in that game. Great second half adjustments. I thought the offensive coordinator they brought from Kansas did some gadget plays, and Warren, the tight end, is just an absolute stud. And USC, they had no answers. They couldn't figure out what to do with him at all. I'm shocked that they didn't try to do more double teams. And so good job, James Franklin. I mean, I thought they really adjusted well. And, you know, again, with Penn State, they're probably going to be favored in every game, and they do get Ohio State at home. So even if they lose that one game to Ohio State, they should still be in the driver's seat for a playoff spot and maybe go far this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think they got SC's best shot. I think they knew, like, SC knew, like, this was a game they have to win. Like, they already had two losses in the conference. They knew if they lost again, basically their season is over for the most part. But what I was impressed with, and it, like, I know Aller had the interceptions, which he matched his turnovers in one game from all last season. But Nicholas Singleton, 10 carries for 23 yards. They really weren't able to run the ball, but he, like, to actually see Drew Aller take control in the fourth quarter, which he never really has had to in his career, that I think is a great sign for them moving forward. Like, if this defense can, like, continue playing well, and then if Drew Aller can take that next step, and, like, I expect the running game to be better than it was this weekend. That just, I don't know what happened. It could have been the short, like, the flight that they didn't like or whatever it was. But my biggest impression is I love seeing Drew Aller take charge for the first time in his career and actually lead them to a win in the fourth quarter and hopefully give some confidence moving forward.
And I do want to say there was some questionable calls in that game at the very end. You know, two pass interference calls. If you watch the replay, the Penn State guy, I mean, the one time he completely, like, try to grab the guy down on the, you know, and I give Penn State credit. It was two fourth downs that they converted, mm-hmm. but the one, I think it was the third down play, the one offensive line guy, he stood up. He, like, stood up and, like, looked around, and they didn't call anything. So it should have been, like, third and 15 or fourth and 15. But again, they got it, but I don't like kind of go. I mean, there's a lot. If you break down a game, there's a lot of plays that you could have said, oh, that was a passer. But it happened at very crucial times for USC. But again, good win by Penn State to go out there and win.
And it's funny when it comes to coaching. You talk about those fourth down conversions Penn State got. If they go for those and they don't get them, then all of a sudden everybody's just ripping James Franklin, saying he shouldn't have gone for him. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, big game James Franklin strikes again. So it's literally such a 50-50 thing sometimes between these coaches in these games. It's just funny how that works out. And now it's all of a sudden, oh, James Franklin won a big one. It's like, okay, he was one play away from us ripping him if he didn't get that.
Yeah, very true. Let's look at the AP top 25. Nick, I know you texted and you said, what, it doesn't make sense. What were some of your biggest takeaways? Navy and Army now both in the top 25. Pitt still undefeated. They did not cover. That was a rough beat. But give me your overall look into the AP top 25, then Smitty, you close it out.
Yeah, I guess when I text you guys, I didn't want to explain a whole lot because I did want to leave it for the show and kind of what my first thoughts were. I quickly glanced at it and I didn't examine it or anything, just went 1 through 25 and was just like, what is happening this season? So I'd probably flip Ohio State, Penn State. I still think Ohio State, from what they showed, like that Oregon Ohio State game, we didn't really talk about it, but that's what you want to see from a top four game. It was a super clean, very few penalties. There was only one turnover. Both offenses were better than both defenses, which is not what, at least me and Matt, who had the under, I had the under in the first half, Matt had the under in the full game. We both thought it was going to be the complete opposite, but both offenses were clean, looked explosive, were very good. So I'd still say Ohio State's, I would still have them third. And then from what I looked at is if Penn State's fourth, you put 4 through 12, I'd say right before, like, kind of BYU A&M cutoff, you could match any of those teams up on neutral fields. I couldn't tell you who wins. And then you go from like 15 to 25, you match any of those teams up on neutral fields. I couldn't tell you who wins. Like, it is so just, I don't know, like, this year is just so scrambled and everything. It's just, it's awesome to see. And there's so many teams up here that we saw in the top 25 that we didn't expect this year. It's been awesome. I know going into the year, people are wondering, NIL, is this going to lead to less parity or more parity? I mean, looking at this top 25 right now, it seems like more. just because, I mean, BYU's up there. Boise's up there. IU, of all teams, is up there. Pitt, SMU, Illinois, and obviously two service academies. I think this is great for college football. I assume by the end of the season, once college or once conference play kind of ends up, it's going to be it will kind of work itself out. Like, another thing that stood out is if you look at those top 12 teams outside of Iowa State, those are also your top NIL teams. Like look at the money involved in that top 12 outside of Iowa State. That's where most of the money in college football is. So I think it'll work itself out, but I think this is great for the sport to have this much parity and not knowing every weekend who's going to beat who. So I just love, like I said, I love the quick glance and just seeing what the top 25 look like this week.
Smitty.
Yeah, you know, Clemson sitting at 10. They keep scoring a lot of points. That was one bet I gave out, the team points. They started a little slow, but they're steamrolling right now. Yeah, I kind of go with like what Nick said. You know, you look at the board. It's great seeing Indiana, Pitt at 20, the Service Academy, you know, Army and Navy. And again, Army, I wrote you guys. I mean, they're scoring a ton of points. They just blow people out too. And, you know, Boise State, it's interesting to see what the running back gets each week on the yard, you know, with on the ground. So, yeah, I agree with Nick, what he said about Ohio State. I think Ohio State should still be there. That was a really good game. That was back and forth. And like we said, I mean, Ohio State, I think, was the number one defense coming in, and Oregon was successful moving the ball. But the two wide receivers for Ohio State really played great. Gabriel had a nice game. You know, Howard at the very end sliding down, running out of time there, but that was an exciting game. But no, it's great to see the teams. I like how it's a little different this year. So let's see what happens as the year continues.
So there was some questions around Dan Lanning intentionally adding that 12th man to burn 4 seconds off the clock. I hope that he did that intentionally, but I don't know. I mean, you call the timeout and you stop the clock 10 seconds. Does he know that? Does he know that if you put them on, they run a play and then get the flag?
Yes. Belichick did that like 4 or 5 times in the NFL. That is actually a very common thing, but it only works like within a certain like time period. So I think they timed it perfect and like it worked. So it's not like an uncommon thing. I don't think it was an accident. I think they had probably planned it before, and yeah, I think it just worked out.
Yeah, Ken, Army Navy undefeated matchup would be awesome.
They're not going to both beat Notre Dame.
It's a win. It's a win for America. Just let that be the national championship.
Great. Game. I say that, and now it sounds like I hate America because I just said
yeah,
they won't both job, beat Notre Dame.
Nick, anti-American.
Thank you, guys. Yes.
Okay. Todd. Anything else to add here?
No, I love America. And,
I love America.
No, you know, it's going to be Notre Dame's playing well. But again, I'm excited. I'm excited you know, to keep an eye on Army each week and Navy. And Air Force keeps giving up points. So maybe I'll try to find them again in one of my best bets this week just for an over.
Smitty's all right, got me overs.
Looking into the futures market, Ashton Genty seems to be running away with the Heisman race at this point. Plus 160. I can't advise anybody to bet on that. Travis Hunter did get hurt in that Kansas State game. I think he's probably out. Next shortest shot to Genty is Dylan Gabriel at plus 400 on DraftKings. Cam Ward plus 650. And then Milroe plus 1,000 or 10-1. Anything sticking out here? Is this a buy low spot for Quinn Ewers at this point? If he comes back, Texas runs the table. I've got to believe that plus 2,500 is not going to be there after Saturday if Texas beats Georgia.
Yeah, I get it. It is a buy low spot. I just don't think his stats are going to be there. I think it's like missing 4 games. Like his stats, just even if they're undefeated, he leads into a playoff and everything. I just don't think. Like missing 4 games, like you think of his stats on the year, what he's averaging, that you're missing probably 1,000 passing yards. You're missing probably 8 touchdowns. So I mean, I guess, like you said, this is probably the lowest you'll get him, but I just don't think he has a chance to win it after missing 4 games.
Yeah, I agree. I think he missed way too many games.
All right. to make the playoff odds, Oregon and Texas minus 2,000, Ohio State minus 1,200, Penn State getting up there, James Franklin in the playoff. Who do they have left? Does Penn State, they play Ohio State. I'm guessing they don't have to play Oregon then. Mm-hmm. If they're minus 750.
No, it'd be Penn State and then a possible Big Ten championship game. Where now they
play. I'm looking it up.
Georgia minus 450, Alabama minus 425 for those that are just listening. Miami minus 230, they may be the luckiest team. Clemson, y'all both made good points on Clemson. I think you've been a lot higher on them here lately. I don't know, looking at their schedule, if they're going to have a game where they're not favored in the rest of the way.
Hey, yeah. Matt, I got the Penn State schedule really quick. So they have a bye week this week. They're at Wisconsin. Then they're at home against Ohio State November 2nd. They host Washington. They go to Purdue. They go to Minnesota. And then November 30th, last game of the year, they host Maryland.
So, yeah, one game pretty much.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Clemson sitting there at minus 175 has Virginia and Louisville at home, on the road at Virginia Tech, who proved to be not very good this year.
The only thing I'll say about that is
at Pitt, maybe they lose that game. I don't know. I think Pitt probably is due for some regression.
Pitt will probably blow one. They usually do every year.
Yeah.
No, smart.
And then Citadel and South Carolina to close that out. So Clemson could very well be 11-1.
Yeah, smart one about this one is you're probably going to get Clemson and Miami in the ACC championship game, and you're going to get a better number on Clemson just straight up in that game. And if they beat Miami, yeah, they're in. If they lose, then they might be out. It'll be close. Like, they'll probably be one of those bubble teams. So I wouldn't play Clemson this number at all and just leave it until you get an actual, like, money line number on them versus Miami if you think they're the best team in the ACC. Like, this number is literally unplayable right now. Like, you have to wait until that ACC championship game.
And Matt, real quick, I'll just say about the Penn State schedule, you know, they do travel to Wisconsin. The last 2 weeks, Wisconsin's actually put some points on the board against, well, Purdue, everyone's scoring against Purdue. And, you know, what they did last week against Rutgers, they were dogs in that game and they really put it on them. So maybe they found something on offense. Again, that's a tough place to play. But again, one nice thing about Penn State is they have a bye week to really prepare and go into and be focused on that game.
Well, before we get to the national championship odds, I do want to say Andrew Percival, I don't know if you guys have seen on the Twitter for NCAA Insiders. I think we both have posted on my personal and on the Insiders account. Not really sure where he's from, what his background is, why he's doing this, but impressively enough, our Insiders power ratings that we do every week over at collegefootballinsiders.com, the IPR was 84.7% ATS this past week. If you bet on those numbers alone, it's pretty salty, have to admit. National championship odds, Ohio State, they're shorter odds than Oregon, despite losing to Oregon. Anything in this market that you guys want to jump on at this point, knowing that there's still a lot of good games to come, most of them being this weekend?
This is probably where the click, like, you were talking about Clemson. This is probably where their number is a little bit high, because if you base it off of that minus 175 to make the playoff, but then they're plus 1800 to win it. So you're basically saying if they get in, it's because they beat Miami in ACC championship, which automatically puts them as the ACC champion. Then they're a top four, which gets them a bye. And their only loss is Georgia, which, I mean, it was also first game of the year. So you kind of give it a little bit of a break there, because they've looked just flat out dominant. And Klubnik has figured it out. So I think this number is way too high based on the minus 175 we saw to make the playoff. Now, do I think they'll win it? Probably not. Because I still think it's down to, like, those. Literally, I think those top four teams right now are absolutely correct. Like, I know Georgia hasn't been extremely impressive the last couple of weeks, but they're still arguably the most talented team in the country, maybe behind Texas. So I think outside of those top four, it's a long shot. But if you're looking for a long shot, plus 1,800 with Clemson is probably where I'd go.
Smitty?
Yeah, I mean, I've been talking about Clemson. I like them. I think the quarterback's playing well. They have a great running back, scoring a lot of points. So I agree with Nick. You know, maybe Miami, but again, I think Miami smoke and mirrors a little bit, winning games. But yeah, those top four look pretty good. You know, we'll see this week, Georgia, Texas. So we'll see if Georgia goes in and wins, then, you know, Georgia's maybe back to talking about they're the best team in the country. If they just can't keep losing guys to get arrested. So they got to get that cleaned up and hopefully they don't lose more players.
Well, that has moved. I was going to say that's moved to over a field goal now. So it opened 1.5, I think, Sunday morning or yesterday morning or late Saturday night. And the look ahead was Georgia by 1.5 or 2. And now it's Texas -3.5. So it's moved basically 2 points already in a little over 24 hours towards Texas.
I wouldn't want to step in front of Texas at this point. They've looked far more impressive than Georgia, but it's not going to surprise me if Georgia wins. I think it goes over. I think with what we've seen in the big games, Georgia, Alabama, now Oregon, Ohio State, the offense versus offense has kind of been the more impressive side here than defense.
Yeah, the best offenses have beat the best defenses so far this year in the top games,
which would lean over. Quick message with Home Field Apparel, then we will recap our Pick'em contest standings on the other side. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Home Field has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today. All right. Well, Q, not here, but he's come back. We are tied right now at 14 points. 12-9, Rutgers was just straight up bad bet, but we all have those. Missouri easily covers in what was the weirdest scenario for a team to travel to UMass. Their locker room that they were sitting in looked like a JV locker room. Bama, South Carolina goes over in the closing moments. And that was a game we didn't even talk about, but that was a hell of a game. I know South Carolina let it. This is the second time they should have beaten LSU. They really should have beaten Alabama. I don't really know why Sellers was going deep there at the end and through that pick, but I think South Carolina was a really live dog in that. Hats off if you had the rocking chair winner plus 21 or whatever it was. But Q, I know you're not here, but solid weekend. Nick, 2-1, making a comeback.
I mean, talk about sweats for my best bet. Like both of those games could not have been any closer. So, yeah, I mean, I had some bad luck last week during my best bets, so I'll be happy to take the good luck this week. The Texas game worked out exactly how I handicapped it and said it would. I didn't think Texas had to score a lot because, like I said on the show, I didn't see how Oklahoma was going to score, and they just couldn't. Iowa State, West Virginia, I would bet again. West Virginia, just way too many mistakes on the opposite side of the ball. Turned the ball over twice in the red zone. So, like, West Virginia just helped out a little bit. That would have hit. So, I would play that again. But, like I said, can't hit all of them.
West Virginia, just straight ass, man.
Jerseys don't look as good when you're getting smoked.
Right? And then the most impressive week of the Insiders crew, Todd, 3-0, baby.
Yep. That's, we needed that. So, yeah, you know, we talked about USC. Good game. Glad they You know, I mean, it worked out great. I was saying, I said to my wife, I think I need the cover by five. We need Penn State to win. Then Nick keeps his bet going. So it worked out great for the team here. So yeah, an LSU plus 3.5, they win the game outright, a really exciting game. And then the Air Force, New Mexico State, I gave some numbers on that on Friday. Some of those New Mexico games, how many points have been scored in that? Air Force scored in that game. So did New Mexico. I think it was up in the, 89.
Yeah, I think Air Force may have covered the total by themselves.
Yeah. So, played. So that played pretty well. So that I felt pretty good on that one. So we'll kind of keep an eye. I know New Mexico plays, I think it's Utah State, and both those teams give up a lot of points too. So right. I have not looked at that number yet to see what that number, but that if it's okay and the numbers are matching up there, that might be on my board this week.
And then I am on a downward trajectory right now under Oregon, Ohio State. That was not even close. They made it a sweat there in the second half, but ultimately, that was a bad bet. Pitt minus 3.5. I took them on the money line. By the time that the show came around and I had to post current odds, Pitt just, that sucked. LSU plus 4.5 was my only winner, and they ended up winning outright. So we had, I think I tweeted it out. Let me find it. But looking at into the future of week 8 and all of these games that we have to preview, which one are you guys looking most forward to? As I pull this up, which one are y'all looking forward to covering?
Of course, Michigan. No, I'm just joking.
Under.
I'm just glad Michigan made the board this week. There we go.
Gross. Under. Obviously, the easy answer is Georgia, Texas. Obviously, you know my answer. I will beat Alabama, Tennessee. I'll be there. So, that's hype. Huge rivalry. Alabama's looking forward to – everybody knows what happened last time Bama came to Knoxville. So, that's a massive one. I will say, we've said Miami's getting lucky. Look out going to Louisville this weekend. That's a line Miami started at 7.5. It's already down to 4. So there are some big groups that are jumping on Louisville here at home. So Miami upset watch.
Yeah, I'm excited for LSU, Arkansas. I think that one could be up and down a little bit. Bama, Tennessee, you can't go wrong with that. Then, of course, you got Georgia, Texas, but I want to keep seeing this BYU team. I like these kind of teams that are kind of under the radar a little bit. I know they're ranked and they're ranked, 13th, but still, I don't think you have a lot of people if you're going to break down a weekend and someone go BYU, I'm going to keep an eye on BYU. But I think I want to see what Georgia Tech can do against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, I think starting to get it together here. So I think that game could be a competitive game too.
Yeah, I'm happy BYU's on a Friday this week. I will admit, I watched about as much college football as anyone that I know, and I've only seen a half of BYU play. I saw the half against Kansas State, and then it was over, so I just turned it and really haven't been able to catch any of the other games this year. So I am excited to actually watch them, so I'm happy that they're on a Friday so I can actually pay attention and get a real feel for what I think of them just from the eye test standpoint.
Yeah, I tweeted out that, or maybe I just texted, but Bet Saracen in Arkansas just 4 days ago, they hung LSU plus or minus 9.5. I jumped on Arkansas plus the points, and now all of a sudden they took it down, they put it back up, and it was LSU minus 1.5. That is now up to minus 4, I believe, 3.5 on their site, but just more proof that these odds makers really don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure how you go from minus 9.5 to minus 3.5 after you just won. I don't know. Sam Pittman's 6-1 in Fayetteville night games, though. 6-0 as a dog in Fayetteville night games. That game being played at 7:00 Eastern. I'm obviously most excited for that one, but I will be at Circa this weekend getting to take it all in. Cannot recommend enough. With these slates, especially when they're all stacked in the same time slot, you got to go somewhere and watch it. You got to have multiple TVs set up, whatever you got to do. Georgia, Texas, the obvious big one. Like I said, I'm not going to be surprised if Georgia wins. I think Texas should, but it's hard for me to believe Kirby Smart could have potentially single digit wins on the season. And If they lose this one, I don't know. It's going to look a little shaky for the Bulldogs. But, yeah, I'm with you, Nick. BYU, I'm excited to cover them, kind of look into their numbers. Oklahoma State, we've talked about several times on the show, not really exciting about them. Although I did see Mike Gundy. I think he got headbutted by a cow. And
wait, is, I have not seen
that. Is he? Yeah. I just saw it on Twitter a little bit before the show that he got headbutted by a cow. He thinks he's fine, but he is experiencing some dizziness.
This feel like college it's only a Mike football. Gundy thing.
College football is king. You don't get these kinds of stories in the NFL. The storyline, 5 overtime games, 11 games decided by a field goal or less. Home teams in the top 10 go 1-3 ATS. It's chaos. I love it.
That's why we love college. Yeah, it's why we love college football. Every game matters so much. Compared to the NFL where, I mean, you have teams, you can lose, whatever, 7-8 times, still end up in the playoffs, and then all that matters is those 3 or 4 games in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, nothing beats college football. It's just wild this time of year. And like you said, this parity has been awesome, which has led to these upsets and everything. So, yeah, it's been great. Oh, Vandy. Yeah, we talked about Vandy. Another one.
Yeah. I was not surprised at all with that result. That should have been my best bet. I'm not really sure why I left them off the card entirely, but I'm high on Diego Pavia. I think there was no letdown spot for them. I think, well, for one, you're Vanderbilt. You don't really have letdown spots because you're rarely high enough to be let down. But Kentucky is not good. And Vanderbilt, I'm glad to see that they won that game. I cashed the plus 325 money line bet or 345, whatever it was. Sorry, Vandy. I should have put you on the card. Would have went better than 1-2.
Yeah, I mean, think if they don't absolutely blow up like that weird second half again, what, Georgia State or Georgia Southern? I think like week two. Like
Georgia State.
Yeah, they should have won that. And then they had Mizzou in overtime at Mizzou. Like they are 2 or 3 plays away from being undefeated. And like, that's wild to think of Vandy like that.
Yeah.
But they're fun. Like you have to talk about them right now.
Is Vandy off this week?
I think so.
They play Ball State.
Okay, so yes, they're off this week.
Vanderbilt could be 5-2 after the weekend. They're a 26.5-point favorite against Ball State, rightfully so. Vanderbilt. Todd, how long until you buy a Vandy shirt?
Oh, could be coming soon.
Hop on the bandwagon.
Could be coming soon. Hey, I'll tell you, I bet there's a lot of teams right now that are kicking themselves they didn't go after that quarterback and try to get him. And I know he'd look good in at Michigan.
Yeah, they got a T-shirt. They paid him $711,000 is what they got him for on NIL.
You gotta just like his interviews too. He just has so much swagger to him, and I mean he's awesome. Yep, good for him.
How much money has Diego Pavia made for himself in the last 2 weeks?
Well, that's what I said. I texted that our group and I put it in Discord.
That's a good question.
So he sent out that tweet last Monday after they beat Bama, and he said for all NIL acquisitions, here is my agent's number. And I just wanted in the past week he's had to get so many calls, and this is why players should be able to get paid, like for reasons like this. Like think how much like conversation we're talking about Vandy and just the national coverage that Vandy's gotten because of basically him alone. He's not going to be he's not an NFL quarterback at all. Like he will go professional in something other than sports. So it's awesome that he can cash in on his money right now, and that's why like NIL and players getting paid was long overdue. So yeah, I hope he cashes in while he can. He absolutely deserves it.
They need to, I'm going to post a T-shirt idea on Twitter, but they need to say the bandwagon. Jump on the bandwagon. Ed, thanks for watching Miami Held a Players Meeting to discuss needing to play better and clean up their mistakes. I think that's a good thing, but I still think Miami is so lucky to be where they're at. But, I mean, sometimes it takes a little luck. Better to be lucky than good, so they say.
And Cam Ward right now is good enough to get, like, he will make his mistakes, but he's also good enough to, like, make up for those mistakes, which is a difference that Miami hasn't had recently.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that wraps us up. Q, you were missed. Todd, Nick, I'll see you guys Thursday for the preview show of week 8 before I head to Las Vegas. See you guys later.